Why were we created? For his pleasure. Yeah. We were created by him and for his pleasure and his purposes. Father, we just come before you today looking for your guidance, your direction, and inspiration. Oh, that it's by your word that we live, we move, we breathe, we have our being. Thankful for your word, because it is truth that brings strength to our even our flesh, Lord. Touch those here, and especially touch those that aren't. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably most all of us are familiar with that story of the woman at the well. As Jesus dealt with her, he told her about her life, told her she was messed up. We, at one point, were all messed up, and he's still working on us. But at one point, she began to realize she was not just talking to some ordinary man. She said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Some kind of a prophet, you know. And they got into this dissertation and talking back and forth about worship. And she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And the Jews say we worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said, let's put up that John 4, if you would, please. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How many like to worship? Yeah, we like to worship. We need to expand our understanding of worship and what it involves. Because as Jesus said, the time's coming and even is here right now when those worshipers are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that hour is now. It has not faded away. In some churches, it seems like it has disappeared. But as long as Jesus is on the throne, and as long as the Father is who he is, then we need to worship. In Psalms 95, verses 1 through 7, David really had an understanding of worship. And it was not limited just to a mental aspiration. But if you read through the Psalms, I mean, there's a lot about getting involved. We don't get involved just to get involved. We don't just worship God in order to expect goosebumps and a different kind of high, although it can produce that. But we come to worship not because of us, but because of who he is. Because of him being the creator and developer of this world, and we are part of this, and it's for his pleasure that we are and we're created. So let's look at Psalms 95. We're having technical difficulties. Oh, come let us sing unto the Lord. Do we do that? Yeah, we do that. Let us make a joyful noise. Some of you make noise, right? Yeah. To the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. Man thinks they own all this stuff. I got my real estate taxes. I almost got a heart attack. It came within $100 of doubling from last year. They're going nuts. They got to build more doggy parks or something. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. A lot of thought there, a lot of components, but the main idea that God is in control, and everything that is out there is his. He owns the cattle on all those thousands of hills. He owns all the gold. He owns all the silver. Men are just holding on to it for a while. You think you own that house you live in? At some point, somebody else will have to pay those taxes. Lo and behold, the day of taxes will eventually end. The promises of death and taxes are still real. You can count on it. I was fortunate. I was waiting for that bill to get in the mail, and I finally got there this past week. I don't know why they wait so long to get that out. Because I was wanting to get it so I could finish my taxes. And I was fortunate in that I'm in a low enough income category that I got almost all of that money, most of it back. The real estate return. But God owns it all. He is worthy of it all. All of our heart, all of our body, all of our soul. He is worthy of it all. To be a true worshiper, because Jesus said the true worshipers are going to worship in spirit and in truth. True worshipers does not mean that you're worshiping because you belong to a certain denomination. It's not got to do with your works. It's not got to do with rituals. It has to do with what is going on in our heart. And the Father seeketh or looks for those kind of folks to worship him. He's not interested in vain babblings that go over and over and over and over again. Words aren't it. Words are part of it, but they are not it. But many times the words end up being the thought process of I'm worshiping. It has to be initiated from the heart and an understanding of the words that are being said. It's like when Elisha was with the prophets of Baal. I mean, they're jumping around and they're saying things over and over and over again. And so the prophet begins to tease him and say, well, you got to scream a little louder. Maybe he's taking a nap. Or maybe he's in the outhouse. You got to scream louder. And they begin to cut themselves and whatever. That's got nothing to do with the worship of our God. But some of the people of the world think that that is part of it. It is, in that we are going to be totally and completely involved. As David said, make a joyful noise. When they were marching around Jericho, on that last day, they were to stop, and what were they supposed to do? Say, yay. No, with a great voice, they were to shout unto the Lord. And those walls came tumbling down. The shout in itself is not what's important. It's the attitude of the shout. I'm shouting because of Jesus. I'm shouting because I want to lift up the name of the Lord, my Savior. The one that went to the cross. He suffered. He died. He bled. He agonized on my behalf. It's because of him I now have a relationship with the Father. When he said, "It is finished," it was finished. That veil that separated man from God was rent from top to bottom and opened up so that we could go into the presence of God. We could go in. How do we go in? Boldly. That doesn't mean arrogant. It just means by strength, by power, through the understanding of who I am and how that I am connected to the Father because of that cross. Because of the work of Jesus, I can approach my Heavenly Father boldly with my petitions, with the things that are in my heart, with my needs, with my anxiety, with my craziness, with my owies. By the way, Frank, you can't go to that shower. They may let you in the other department, though. You can have a good time in the house of the Lord. Because God made us that way. He made us this triune personage, just like he is a triune personage. So we have this body, what's left of it? We have a soul, which is basically our mind, our thought processes, our feelings, our intuition. The intuition is kind of like a gateway between the spirit and the mind. Some people say, "I have an intuition." They can't put their finger on it. But as a Christian, the intuitive nature is there as a gateway to our spirit. Because sometimes I don't know what my spirit is. I want to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. I want to be in tune and in light of the Word. I want to be thinking and processing according to truth. But my spirit is sometimes difficult to actually really understand and to get at. But we have to believe the Holy Spirit has indwelled within us. And that Spirit knows how to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So I've got this triune being, and some days the three war against each other. My thought processes go one way, my body wants something else, and I know my spirit man is desiring to serve God, but those other two fellas, they're being obnoxious today. They're wanting to do their own thing. So that's what feeds our spirit is prayer and supplication, reading of the Word, meditation, because we need that spirit man to be strong, not just on Sunday or Wednesday, but every day of the week. We need to be feeding upon the Word of God. We need to be in prayer so that our spirit man is made strong. The soul of man, we feed the seeing by the things that we look at, by what we read, We live our world by what we can view around us. We hopefully stay on the road and don't go wailing off into the woods somewhere with our vehicle. It's there because that sight is important to us. And if you're feeding your sight with undesirable items, that is going to affect your spirit man. We feed our hearing part of our soul by what we hear, by what we listen to. And if you're feeding, listening to garbage, it's garbage in, garbage out. We have to guard our hearing for our spirit's sake. Even the smelling. We feed the smelling. Ooh, that smells really good. Liver smells good when it's cooking, but it don't taste so good. But there's a few folks that really like it. How many do like it? Yeah. I know there's a couple. My dad liked it. Never so often I thought, well, I'm going to try this again. Because the onion smelled really good, see. But then I take a bite and it's like, it has not changed. You know, I keep hoping because when I was a kid, I could not stand broccoli or Brussels sprouts or cauliflower. Now it's like if I go to some, like out at the Chinese joint out there, you know, and they got these pans, I'll dig through it and I'll pick out the cauliflower or the broccoli or the green beans or the carrots and stuff. Because my body's saying, that looks good. Yeah, the meat's fine, but my body's saying, you need some actual nutrients, Paul. And so now I like those kinds of things a lot. So I keep thinking, well, maybe now that I'm older, I will like liver. But I've not arrived yet. What is icky. You know, it just, but we have different tastes and different ones of us. And we feed our smelling and our taste every day. If we couldn't taste food, it would be really kind of hard and very boring, you know, to eat. I know those that had the smell taste malfunction of COVID, they lost some weight. Because food just didn't smell or taste good, and so therefore, why eat it, you know? But that's the soul part of us, and every day we're bombarded with stuff. Things we see, things we hear, things we smell, things that we taste. Some of you have had that taste for liqueur in the past, and it becomes a demonic force in the life and destroys lives, it destroys families, it destroys people. And that taste has to be put under the blood. I will not partake of that any longer. So the spirit of man is somewhat dependent upon these other two parts of who we are. And there has to be discipline in those areas, in our flesh and in our soul man, in order that our spirit man can grow and prosper thereby. And as far as truth goes, the world thinks they got the corner on it. The biggest bunch of liars, it just is so disgusting. On PBS, Fauci was on there yesterday. Trying to defend himself, it's just irritating. So irritating. The con, They proved one thing. It's not going to take much to control the whole world. Fear is all it takes. So when the Antichrist comes on the scene, it's not going to be tough. We think, well, how in the world is everybody going to be deceived? Well, just think back 2 years ago. When this very first started happening and they're talking about these masks and stuff, I thought, I want to see what's going on. So I took a piece of paper, made a square out of it, you know, 8.5 by 11, so it's about this big. Looked up the size of a COVID. A COVID is, in relation to that paper, is about a 1 centimeter square in that N95, that 5 micron. These other masks that they're telling people to go ahead and wear, especially the ones that made at home, you would have a hole this big, and you've got a COVID virus that big. What does it protect? But they had the world conned. My brother Steve, working at the hospital over there, has been a number of doctors that have left because they just can't stand lying to their patients anymore. But the world will be deceived by that and several other things that are going to take place, and they will fall into line. That's why we need to know what the truth is. That's why it's so important that as a child of God, you know what this word says. A lot of them want to ignore the Old Testament because there's a lot of things in there that there are a lot of them are involved in. The Old Testament will address it. Oh, but that's Old Testament. Remember a couple years ago, I know you all weren't here, but I did one of the Wednesday night Bible things, Bible finds. And what I did was I went through all the epistles of Paul and showed that he referred to the Old Testament continuously in every one of his epistles. In fact, in the book of Romans alone, he either directly quoted or indirectly referred to the Old Testament 114 times. Because by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his eyes were opened to the things that he had in terms of head knowledge, which he was a very educated and smart person. And he had a lot of head knowledge concerning the Old Testament. He might have had the whole Pentateuch memorized and quite a lot of other stuff. Memorized. But he didn't get it until Jesus met him on the road, knocked him off his donkey, blinded him, humiliated him, brought him down to the dirt, and to further humiliate him, he sent him to the very people he was persecuting to ask or to beg for help. This man was arrogant. He was self-willed. He had all the answers, except the one that made the difference. And that's Jesus. And it's the Word of God and our understanding, and understanding what truth is, and that's where you're going to find it, is in the Word of God. So our activities need to be lined up. That does not mean that we don't make mistakes, that we don't slip, that we don't fall, and I have nasty thoughts every day. I think, Holy Spirit, I don't want to think like that. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me get that old life out of my mind. I don't want to be like that. And I reject that. And I remind the devil every day, you're a filthy liar. You're that liar and that murderer from the beginning. And I know you're the one that's pestering me. And you're trying to work on my thought process. But I reject that in the name of Jesus. And there is such a great need for that understanding today, even in the church. A lot of people are suffering with a variety of mental issues that are because demons are plaguing them. It's not to say there aren't some biological problems, but it gets exacerbated because the demons come and they whisper things into the ear. Remember, he's a murderer from the beginning. He wants to destroy the lives of people. So he brings thoughts of self-destruction. He brings thought of anxiety, of mania. And it has to be resisted because Jesus loves you. Because Jesus went to the cross for every one of us. And he cares for us. And when those gloomy and dark times come, that's when I've really got to reach out to Jesus. I will not accept this state that I'm in. There's times in my life where I could not escape it. It was like it was just constant pressure. You're worthless. You should be dead. The world would be better off without you. Complete darkness and humiliation. But Jesus is greater than that. And I've seen people that have suffered with those kinds of thoughts for years. But when they really got a hold of the idea of everything that was done on that cross for them, they began to see the light. And the healing process began to take place. Sometimes healing is instantaneous, and sometimes it's over a period of time. Sometimes deliverance, complete and thorough, is over a period of time. Just don't stop. Keep pressing. Keep moving. Keep asking. Keep doing whatever it takes to get closer to the Lord. Because some of us have had so much dirt and filth in our lives that automatically, see, the old man wants to go back there. The old man wants to think a certain way. It's used to it for years and years and years. And to get that mind disciplined, to get that flesh disciplined, that I will not go back to the gutter. I will not go back to the vomit. I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Yes, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 What's the first thoughts that go through your head when you wake up in the morning? What kind of pain am I going to be going through? Oh, are my knees hurting? My shoulders hurting? Oh, the dog is barking. I so love it when I wake up. It's either in the middle of the night or in the morning, and that song is in there. Where in the world did that song come from? I worship and bow down before you, Lord. Wow. Then I know. What do I know then? My spirit has been ministering even to my mind and my flesh during the night. That's when you know you're getting somewhere. When you don't wake up and you're thinking, who can I kill today? Who can I be nasty to today? Who can I beat down today? No, I need to look for somebody that I can encourage. Lord, give me an opportunity. Lord, bring people to my mind that I need to pray for. And every so often, this person I hadn't thought of for 20-some years or whatever will come. And the Spirit says, now is the time to pray. Our spirit man is dependent on those things. In John 1:1-5. Now the science would tell us that they have all the answers. The psychologists, psychiatrists, they say, I know what your problem is. It had to do with mommy. Leave mommy out of it. Be responsible for your own actions. Get a grip. The humanist would lead you down this other trail of, let's all feel good together. We'll borrow an old song, Kumbaya. And we can sit around the fire and sing Kumbaya and hold hands together. And everything will be okay. Because I'm okay and you're okay. We're not okay. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through what? Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of some of our unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, yes. For some reason, I got excited this morning. So then another option is the Word of God as far as looking for truth, and that's what we rely on and depend on. John 1, here we go. In the beginning was the Word. So from the very beginning, this is what we rely on. And Jesus had all these quotes about describing himself as I am. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the vine. I am the door. I am the gate. Wow. I'm the beginning. I am the end. And many, many more. And I keep picking at this every so often when I speak because it needs to get in and through. Jesus is the great I am. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Everybody say all things. All things, including you. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, not death. Not discouragement, not hopelessness, not depression, not anxiety. In him was life, and life was the light of men. He's also known as the light of the world. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The world can't understand it on their own. It's not unless the Holy Spirit comes and convicts them and they decide that I will give in to the conviction knowing that I am a wretched sinner, that I have need of a Savior, then he can begin to do a work in that life. In him, I live and I move and I have my being. I have my existence. I am who I am, not because of me, but because of him. Because of who he is. got all kinds of time yet. All things were made by him. All things. Like I said before, he owns all stuff. And the day's going to come when that's truly revealed. People that think they have it, they ain't going to have it. Many of them are going to go straight to hell with nothing. Because they would reject Jesus. They would reject the plan of the cross. They could not comprehend it because of the darkness. And they would not allow, because of their great intellect, to even begin to comprehend the light. Many Christians are familiar with the encounter between Jesus and this woman at the well. And in order to worship, it truly has to originate from within inside. It must be sincere. It's motivated by our love for God, for gratitude for all that he is, for all that he has done, what he is doing, and what he ultimately is going to do. He has a plan. It's like in the A-team, you say, I got a plan. If it worked, then he says, I love it when a plan comes together. Jesus has got a plan that is definitely going to come together. We are going to be with him for eternity. This is just a spot in the road. The worship can't be mechanical or formalistic. I guess I better do this because everybody else is doing it. Whatever it is. But if your heart is saying move, then move. If the Spirit is saying get up, move, then get up and move. It does not necessarily rule out certain rituals or liturgy. If rules and regulations and liturgy are truly done from the heart, then my goodness, it's fantastic. When I was way different than I am now, young, we had a singing group, and we had these big voices, speakers, voice of the theater stuff. We had a whole set that we would go when we would go around to different places and sing, and we did a lot of like Bill Gaither music and stuff like that, you know, quartet music things. One time we got invited to go to Lutheran Church up on Arlington Road. It was a youth service, and so we went up there and we sang our stuff and whatever. The first part of the service, I mean, I didn't know when I was supposed to stand and when I was supposed to kneel and when I was supposed to sit and all that, you know, so I just look at everybody else, you know. But I was reading through the stuff that they were saying, and I thought, well, my goodness, if these people believe these words they're actually saying, then they are saved. A lot of that liturgy was really fantastic. It had meaning. After all, it goes back to Luther, who started this Reformation, which we are actually descendants of that. Things began to splinter and various groups came up through it. But my goodness, yeah, I was looking at it, I thought, wow, if these people believe what they're reading here, but you could just see on their faces, many of them was like, this is a burden to read this. I just can't wait to get through this so I can get home and watch the Vikings get beat again. But glory to God, I'm looking for a revival. I'm wanting to see a revival here in this place, but also within the other churches, within the mainline denominations. Lord, bring them back in. Bring them back into a place of understanding and love for you, where you can get a hold of their hearts. Because the body as a whole needs all of them. Lord, I pray for those Lutheran churches right now. That you draw those people in and open the eyes of those pastors, Lord, and reignite a relationship in their hearts to feed the people and to preach truth from the Word of God. We claim this in the name of Jesus. It does demand that all physical postures or symbolic actions must be infused with heartfelt commitment and faith and love and zeal. I want to see us as a unit totally get involved in the worship. You don't need to be looking around to see who's doing what. You don't need to be going through gyrations to see how many people are watching you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about worshiping the God our Father. But on the other hand, David danced before the Lord. He said to sing. He said to make melody in your heart. He said to make noise. We read it, didn't we? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit who awakens in us an understanding of God's beauty and splendor and power. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we begin to be awakened unto a true nature of true worship. That's what we want to do. And worship can free you up. Once you get used to worshiping here, then you can worship on your own. People driving down by your car on the highway will think you're nuts, and it don't matter. You can worship. Yes, you up there too. This sounds foreign, but believe me, when you get into a spirit relationship with God and worship, you want to worship. And the feeling is there, yes, it ministers even to our flesh. It will minister to your mind. It will minister to what we think our intellect is. By the power and the grace and the glory of the Holy Spirit, your life can be changed. We want to grow from glory to glory to glory. And it's not just Sunday. It's an everyday, 24-hour experience. Because even when you're sleeping, like I said, your spirit that's in tune with the Holy Spirit that's within you can minister, and I'm saying this again, to your mind and to your soul, man. We need that. But I got to get myself start thinking that way so that I can accept what the Holy Spirit is trying to work through me. I was sharing with somebody last week. Expect to hear in your dreams things from the Holy Spirit. Expect it that He's going to work through you. Because He can speak to you during that time. It's not wasted time. Your body needs the rest. Your brain needs the rest. But the Holy Spirit can add to that regenerative thing that goes on during the night and minister to us. Bring us out of fits of depression. Bring us out of that fits of anxiety. bring us out of that slime pit. Yes, Steve? That slime pit. We don't want to be there. Put us on that rock, that solid place to stand. That's where we want to be. How many want to worship more?
Yes, please.
And worship from inside. Let's stand together. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Wolf, that we are a people of God and that we desire to be true worshipers, to be in your presence. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you, oh, Lord. For you are great and you are mighty. That you have us in your hands, Lord. And that you are working on us, in us, and through us. We thank you for your faithfulness throughout all the generations. And I ask that the Lord would bring unto you peace. And that he would prosper you. In your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. And we thank you in that precious name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Let's do it one more time. And everybody said,
amen.
That sounds a little more like you're together with it. Yes. Be blessed.